Hi, I'm Kat.
I'm Kaylin.
And this is Nobody's Left Behind. How are you? How are you, Queen?
I'm good.
We haven't been like FaceTiming on and off all day.
I know. I had a work emergency that I needed Kat's help with.
I know. Kat. Kaylin's even like, hi. You're like, Kat, I need your help. What if I do? That's how I knew it was an emergency. You didn't even greet me. It was an emergency. But anyways, Kaylin and I have been talking about this episode, and today we're going to be talking all about dating apps in, you know, the spirit of our love club segment. And we're going to be talking about dating apps, our experiences, our favorite apps, advice, all of the above. So, yes. Anyways, so what's your experience, Queen? Let's just start off, like, what's your experience from, like, one, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you like being on apps?
I think when I was more in that era of my life, mm-hmm. I loved it. And I think mostly because it was that external validation for me. And so, and also when I was in the prime of being on the dating apps, it was 2020, 2021 during COVID. And so there was a lot of people on the apps because there wasn't anything else to do at the time. Yeah. So there was a pretty good selection, which I have gone back on recently, and there's not, you know, but to each their own. If that's your vibe, that's your vibe. But when I was in my prime of it, I really enjoyed it. It was nice. I don't know if it was because we were in quarantine and I didn't have anyone else to talk to, and so I was just bored. I don't know if that made me enjoy it more or if I actually enjoyed, you know, getting to know all the people on there, but it was fun. I thought it was fun. I got to meet a lot of people mm-hmm. from a lot of different places who do a lot of different things career-wise, so I learned a lot, actually, from it.
Oh, I love that for you.
Yeah.
And you know what, now that you say, because I was on dating apps around the same time. It was 2020, right before COVID. It was like March, so literally right like weeks before we went into lockdown. And I think because of that, the vibes were just immaculate. Like everyone was just, they knew the vibe. Everyone was way more charismatic on the app. And I did have a good experience. I think I mentioned to you this before, where I would get on an app, would not last 2 seconds. Literally, I would make it, and then afterwards, if I wasn't enjoying it, which was a majority of the time, and sometimes some people would kind of creep me out, I would just delete it within the same day, a couple of hours. But that time specifically, it was a huge vibe at the time, and I feel like it was a theme of the how everyone would interact with each other. But it was a 10 out of 10 experience for me. I met, well, maybe one person made it out of the realm of the people that I was talking to. But yeah, it was a really good experience from what I went through. But what apps did you use?
Oh, I had them all. I had Tinder, Hinge, Bumble. I have since tried, there's a couple other ones there. I think it's like Foursquare or something for double dating.
Oh.
Hula, oh, yeah. Where the men are rated by the women, or like the men can't join the app unless they've been approved by another woman.
Hula?
Mm-hmm. I think it's new.
Yeah, I haven't heard. What was that?
I saw it on TikTok. This was like a couple months ago. But mm-hmm. I saw it on TikTok, and I saw a video of someone talking about it, and I was like, oh, that seems interesting. And so I just went on just to kind of see what it was about, deleted it within the first 10 minutes that I was on the app. But I think it's so new that not too many people are on it. And so it was the mm-hmm. same, like when I was going through the feed, it was the same people. And then there were people from like Denmark, you know, out of the country.
Oh,
and I
think
it's just because they don't have enough people to filter through where we are, like in my area. So, yeah, I think it needs more time.
Yeah. Oh my God. And also, I feel like when it's that new, it's the technology behind the app and how you navigate it is still really new. So it's probably mm-hmm. still in the works of the test trials, I guess. But mm-hmm. I was on the same. I was not on Hinge, but I was on Bumble and Tinder did not last for me. even till now, we recently had a friend that she went on Tinder just recently, and literally just a couple months ago, and it's the same thing. The prospects are not happening, and some of them are really, really scary looking, not in a way that it's disrespectfully, you know, like ugly. It's just, they look scary as hell. And I'm like, what, where are my options? You know, but I got on Bumble, and Bumble was where it was at. And then I got on Hinge, just like as a little story. I got on Hinge because I was just so into people from New Zealand, and I fixed the location to people in New Zealand and some Australia and Australia, but it was a vibe. I feel it's a little different, more so how it works, the app. That's the hard thing, is like you have to figure out how to navigate through the app. Hinge specifically, it was a little bit harder for me to figure out, but and Bumble at the time was, I remember when Bumble first came about and everyone was just like, oh my gosh, the girl has to initiate the conversation, which at the time was a little weird just because everyone was so used to Tinder, where you're just swiping equally and anybody can talk to each other. But yeah, Bumble was where it was at for me. I don't know. I'm still the big fan of Bumble. But me and you recently were on it. We were not it. It was not it. But tell them the theory that you saw.
Oh, the theory. Yes. So there was this, there's this TikToker. I can't remember her name or username now, but she did this whole series about Hinge and kind of the analytical side of it and how the algorithm works. And so she was basically like, within the first couple days of you being on the app, don't like anyone, just kind of X everyone, and then slowly go through and kind of be really, really picky about what you're looking for, like looks wise, or, you know, there's like a little profile with like their name, their star sign, whether they want kids or not, you know, be picky with those things for the next like week. So that way your feed is kind of more specific to your wants. So you're getting people on your feed that are more attractive to you. But I don't know. I tried that. We did that. And
you did.
It didn't work. But I also think, too, now, which I like that you brought up the Tinder thing with our friend, because I think our friend has a really good way of approaching that. Because I feel like now, when I was on the dating apps, like, more recently, I was super picky. Like, if their first picture was not drawing me in, it was an automatic X for them. I don't care how cute they were. I don't care what was in their bio. I didn't care to scroll further. If what I saw in that first picture was not enough, I was on to the next. But I feel like our friend, she approaches it with, I'm just going to heart everyone.
Swiping spree, she said.
And whoever, you know, whoever likes, cool, and then I'll go through the messages, and if I really want to talk to them, then I'll talk to them, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah, that algorithm thing, I don't know how,
if it works,
yeah, how accurate that is, because when we tried it that one time.
And was she specific to an app or no, she just meant in general?
Hinge.
Oh, because mm-hmm. when our friend was doing it on Tinder, she was getting some prospects, and she was just literally, all she had to say was, I'm just scrolling to scroll. I'm just talking to them just to get a little of a conversation. And mm-hmm. then she was like, sometimes I'll choose here and there if they are cute, and I will say no to some. And then sometimes it's all just to the right. And I was just, that's a really good way of just not be, it's more light that way, where you're just mm-hmm. trying to find conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it really did work for her. But did I say what's your most favorite out of all of them?
Oh, my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Hinge.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Hinge. But that's just because back in like 2020, 2021, it had the best people on it. And I mean, not just looks, like conversation wise. I got mm-hmm. a lot more out of Hinge than I did out of Bumble and Tinder. Tinder was very short lived. The people on Tinder are only there for one reason, mm-hmm. and it's kind of this unspoken thing. Everybody knows kind of what the deal is, and that's just not my vibe. So mm-hmm. Tinder went right away, but Hinge and Bumble were fun, but I think Hinge was my favorite.
I remember back in 2019, I had a boss who was on Hinge. And I remember my older sister, her friend was on Hinge. But I thought Hinge was more for the, at the time when it first was coming about, that it was more for the serious crowd. Like, people were trying to find marriages and husbands and wives on there. But I remember one time my coworker found a super hot guy on Hinge and they actually went out and he really did like her. But Hinge, I will agree, I love Hinge now, at least, because the voice memos, that really does it for me.
Yeah.
Whenever we were scrolling through people, I was like, play their voice. Is it called a voice memo? I don't know.
I think
whatever
so.
The recording is, but it's a vibe. And I feel that at least even still to now that prospects are all on Hinge. But Bumble for me was my favorite. I don't know why. I think just because I'm referring back to the time that I did it at, that it was just a huge vibe. Do you have any like funny stories of some people that swipe
right on you? A lot of my funny stories come from Hinge. But you know what?
Okay.
Bumble was fun because I have a hard time breaking the ice, whether that be in person or over the phone conversationally, whether I'm interested in you or not. I have a hard time. It's very awkward for me, you know? And we even had this conversation where I was like, my mind goes blank. And the only thing I think about is how the weather is. Even I even got into an Uber one time when I was on the phone with Kat. And the first thing I said to him was, oh, like, it's cold tonight, you know, like I just can't think of anything else to start the conversation. And so with Bumble, I feel like that was a great way for me to really work on that. And I did that through pickup lines. So I would just gather, I have a list and I shared it with all my friends.
I think you need to screenshot it to give a little bit for our Instagram, because yes, there are some good ones in
yes
there. And there's
I
a lot.
Categorized it. So there's some from certain TV shows. There's ones for every holiday. Like there's some dirty ones, you know. And it was a vibe. And at that time, again, I don't know if it's just because everyone was really bored because of quarantine. And so they just kind of went along with it. But every single person that I would send a pickup line to played along. And it was fun. And it was a nice, like, lighthearted way to get the conversation going and to just kind of see how their personality was, because if they vibed with it, cool. So I know you have at least a little bit of a sense of humor to just kind of have fun with this, you know. If you don't, cool, now it's weird, like, now I'm gonna unmatch you, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean? So mm-hmm, that was a great way on Bumble. Oh, do I have mm-hmm any funny stories?
Yes,
I have.
Or any memorable guys that really caught your attention?
Oh my gosh, yes. And they all came from Hinge.
Okay.
So maybe Hinge shouldn't be my favorite because there's some weirdos on there, you know? But
now that you look at
it. I think there are two really crazy experiences that I've had with guys from Hinge. One of them, this was like 4 years ago now, or whenever COVID was. Yeah, like 4 years ago now.
Oh,
I matched
crazy
with him on Hinge. He is from, I would say, about 45 minutes south of where I live, and so we decided to meet semi in the middle, a little bit closer to him, but semi in the middle between us. And we went on a date and we shared a kiss, and the kiss was not good, you know.
Oof.
Sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm not one to judge, maybe I'm just not the greatest kisser, and so on my end, maybe, you know, that's why I just don't think that it was a good kiss. But it was a little bit too much for me. And so then I ended up ghosting him. And this was when I was like very big in my ghosting era. I was not big on communicating at all. I was just like, I don't owe these guys anything. I'm just going to move on with my life. And so that's what I did. I ghosted him. And then recently, this was just like a couple months ago, my friend is on Hinge. And she was showing me some of the guys in her likes. And I was like, oh my God, that is the guy that I went on a date with. And she was like, oh my gosh, I went on a date with him too. And I was like, oh, down in Laguna Beach. And she was like, yeah, we went on a date with the same guy in the same place, shared the same kissing experience 3 years apart. And I was
not
like,
not the same place though. That's crazy.
I was like, does that make us Eskimo sisters? The fact that we both kissed
share
him?
A little smooch with the same guy.
Right? But I was just like, the fact that, and there's no hate for being single for long periods of time, but the fact that he was single back in 2020 and it's now, I think, 4 years later, and he is still on doing the same thing, I feel like that is kind of a red flag. Yeah. Like, again, there's nothing wrong with being single and there's nothing wrong with dating around, but I feel like if you're kind of stagnant in that place where you're just stuck on the same app doing the same thing, he hasn't grown as a person, mm-hmm. you know, romantically or emotionally. You're the same person you were 4 years ago.
And doesn't it, maybe we don't know. Maybe he just so recently got back on. Maybe after 4 years, but I would get tired of the game at that point.
Yeah.
It's just a face after another face, a meetup after another meetup. Mm-hmm. But you never know. Maybe some people like that drive and that thrill of meeting someone they have no idea about to go mm-hmm. do something, and they're just strangers to one another, I guess. Yeah. But it is a red flag. I'd say so too. But you never know. Let's give it the benefit of the doubt and that they're just want a break in between you and you know who. That's
We're
funny
really
though. What are the chances
here for him? I know. And then he reached out. This was back when I still had Instagram, and so he had refollowed me on Instagram, and then he had sent my friend a message about all of us hanging out together. Also at this time, me and that friend had a Hinge account together for double dates, and so that's kind of how the conversation came up. Is we saw him in her likes, and then he sent us a like on our double date account.
Now it's coming to sense.
Yeah, but he was a little bit weird about it. We got a lot of on our double date account. We got a lot of guys asking if we wanted threesomes, and that's just not. And we put it in our profile specifically, like, we don't want any of that weird stuff. But he sent us a message and he basically wanted that. And so then we were both like, you're weird for that. Like,
I feel like at that point too, guys are not reading either. Mm-hmm. They probably did mm-hmm. not read it or care to read.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Do you have any people that you still had on social media that you met off of dating apps?
I did. Oh, no. Oh. Not that I met off of dating apps.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. That was, I don't know. Or maybe I did. And they just never posted anything and I didn't mm-hmm. see. But mm-hmm. I never went through and, like, unfollowed people or blocked uh-huh. people. So, I mean, maybe they unfollowed me and I still followed them. Who mm-hmm. knows?
Yeah.
But as far as I can remember, I don't remember seeing any posts or anything like that from people that I had met off of dating apps.
I only have one. One. And when I did have my own podcast, I did talk about it. But Bumble, I call him Bumble Boy, Bumble Guy, whatever. But he was probably my favorite. I really did fuck with this guy. He was just a good time. I met him right before COVID happened, but it was weird because obviously I was taking it lightly. I knew that I was not going to get responses from some people, or the conversation's going well, immediately ghosts, whatever, you know, but we both swiped right, and it was from a city not even a mile, 2 miles away from me. So he lived really close to me. And that's what we both first, I guess, conversed about. And that was what we had in common. And then we went back and forth between, you know, what high school did you go to? And then because it's so, the chance of us having mutuals is so likely. And he did link his Instagram, and I didn't know anybody. And I was just like, okay, that's a green flag. But he would always ghost me, bitch. He'd always ghost me. So I was just, it was frustrating at first because he would show me so much interest at first and then he would stop. And so he would literally cut off mid-conversation. I thought we were having a really great conversation and he would just stop responding. So I was like, you know what? He's obviously doing his own thing. Can't get mad. And I can't throw shade, whatever. So there went like maybe 3 days in between where he just stopped talking to me. Sorry. And then we ended up, I remember he responded to what I said last, literally 3 days later. And at that point, I had no filter. I was unhinged. I literally said, how are you going to hit me up 3 days later? Conversation's dead, boy. And he was just, all he said was, at least I responded. And then I left him on read. And I was just like, that is gross. Be so for real. Ego's big. Goodbye. You're not that cute. And then a couple days went on and then he added me, or we added each other on Snapchat, which that's how I knew too. Snapchat of all things, babe. Have some self-respect. But I knew at that moment, I knew what it was, you know? So then he hit me up on Snapchat. Because, well, we had it from the beginning, but he hit me up on Snapchat and then just went from there, you know? And then lockdown happened. And so his parents were really strict about it. And so he couldn't go out. Everyone's job stopped. And then we just ended up accidentally talking for a couple of months. And nothing ever came about it, though. We did not hook up. We didn't meet up. None of that. And now he has a girlfriend, and she's absolutely gorgeous. And I'm happy for him. And I still have him on social media, and he is a vibe. He is one of, like, the... that. He has such a good personality. And we love that for him. And this is really embarrassing. I did stalk his mom on Facebook. Remember I showed you the pictures? Because
some guys' moms are out here following girls, so...
No, okay, because like, I will say... Like, uh-huh. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going
to say? Like, the guy I'm talking to right now, his mom just followed her on Instagram.
No way!
Yeah.
Is it the guy that we're talking, like, the most recent guy?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. I don't know if you can agree to this statement, but I'm not really big into astrological signs and stuff like that, whatever, but I feel like all Scorpios, men and women, are so secretive. Not in a bad way. I just think that a lot of them, it's just in their nature. They don't overshare. They don't really show what they're doing, who they're with, whatever, whatever. That's how he was. I think that's why I was so invested in knowing who he was and why I invested in his toxicity. But
he's so mysterious.
Yeah, he was so mysterious. Like, he wouldn't post anything about himself for periods at a time. He would post selfies, which is a red flag for me when guys post selfies. Not if they're like, if it's a mirror selfie or if it's just like, but if someone is taking a picture of you, of a man, and then you post that, I don't know why. It's just a red flag for me. But anyway, I digress. He was so mysterious. And so I wanted to know more about him. And so I found his mom on Facebook. It was a deep dive. It took me a while. And she posts a lot. So when I found his pictures of him, I was in. I was in, boys. Literally, that's how I knew about his girlfriend and his graduation and, you know, his big moves that his mom would post. She's so cute, though. And, you know, I'm happy for him, nonetheless. He's a really, really good, cool guy. But, yeah, one of my only experiences. Literally, that's my only good experience from Bumble or dating apps in general. I have only hooked up once. Literally once with like all the guys that I was talking to. And that was my rule. I was just, I'm not gonna hook up with any of these guys, even if it was a kiss. No. But there was this one guy where he and I, if we vibe and you're my vibe, that's what makes me fold. Is if you match my energy, because my energy is a lot. Hence why I'm still single. You know, it's just... But he was just matching my energy, and he was really good at talking, texting, and also on the phone. But we met up and we hooked up, and that was he was really good. I won't lie, but I was a little tipsy, and that's what kind of did it for him. He was just like, oh my gosh, like, do you remember? He just made a big old deal about it, and I was just like, because I think he was a year or two younger than me, maybe a year. Mm-hmm. But he just made it this big deal. And I was just like, dude, it was to calm my nerves, bro. Like, how can you expect this? My first time doing it and my first time on an app. God forbid. And I'm with my friends. We were drinking all together anyways, you know? And I just needed to get hyped up a little bit. And he just judged me for it. And I was just like, okay, whatever. And then we just stopped talking. We blocked each other.
I think for maybe he just had that fear of... you being like, oh, you took advantage of me.
Yeah, when that's I true. Was under okay, influence. That's true. Then I should
because I know be a little bit I know there. I mean, this is no hate. We love women here, but there are some women out there who will do that. You know, who will lie about those things.
Mm-hmm. and make it less of an
issue. Not that you would do that. Ever. No, you would never do that. But no. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
He could have been afraid.
I was just like, damn. That was a good hookup. You want a bitch? Be for real. There are bigger problems on this earth. I enjoyed it. Just take it as that. Take it as for face value, you know? But then nothing came out of it. And that was the one and only time that I ever did that. Because I was just really spicy that year. Because I remember when I made it, my friends made it for me. My friends at the time. Because at that moment was when I really cut ties with my first ex. And I was so serious about it. As I was, we didn't talk for a year. But when I did that, I was so sad. And they were just like, dude, come on. Get on an app. Remember how hot you are. And I was just, okay, yeah, sure. And then they made it for me. And then we just kept going. And they were swiping for me because they knew I was going to delete it. So they would check my phone if it was still there. But yeah, I mean, it was a hit. Okay. Like I said, I had a good experience. But do you think that there's, for people who are on dating apps, do you think there's ever a cap on it? As in how long they use it? I honestly couldn't. I've not heard of anybody that uses it for a long period of time. I rarely know anyone.
That one guy that me and Mackenzie both went on a date with.
Yeah. Oh, a gap of 4 years. I totally forgot about that shit. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I don't know. I feel like most people in their dating app phase or era of their life, they're usually kind of going through something or healing from something, kind of getting back in their bag. And so I feel like once that stage is over,
they're over it.
Then they probably kind of feel like, okay, it's time for me to get off the app. So I'm just going to live my life and do me.
Yeah.
But then you have those odd ones out who are on there for like 4 years.
So, those odd ones out, bitch.
You know, it's hard to say. Yeah. I would think that people would have a cap. Because also, I feel like at a certain point, aren't you just kind of seeing the same people over and over and over and over again? Unless you're changing your location to like another state or something. But then what would...
Or further out.
That?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're going to drive. Are you going to drive 2 hours to go on this date? You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like for most people, there probably is a cap. But I feel like how long... really varies.
It's subjective.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about this. When someone freshly breaks up or is out of a breakup, how soon is too soon? When should they be on these apps? Because I know some people who just immediately break up and then they're on it. And honestly, I'm like, go ahead, queen. But there is some sort of fear because I feel like people are so vulnerable right after a breakup that it is a safety thing at that point too, you know, but what are good vibes, but I feel like it's a little dangerous to do that emotionally, too.
You know, I saw this video, with a celebrity in an interview. Can't remember what celebrity it was. It was a man. But basically he was talking about his most recent breakup and how he was already in another kind of situation type deal, and this may have been just him trying to like save his own ass when he was confronted with this, but he was basically like, not everybody is meant to be alone, not everybody is meant to deal with things alone, not everybody is equipped to be able to do that emotionally, and so some people need someone else there, you know. And so I feel like when it comes to dating, especially on the apps, I feel like a lot of it is, you know, that external validation, that feeling of, oh, there are people out there who do still want me, you know. And so I feel like if you feel like you're ready for it, if you're ready to jump back out there and get back in the game and talk around and do whatever, by all means, do you. You know what I mean? But I think if you're really not in a good headspace or not in a good place to participate in that, I feel like it's better to just wait a couple weeks, wait a couple months, however long you feel like you'll need to heal from whatever happened within that relationship, and then go in and do the dating apps. Because you also want to enjoy it. You want to be able to look back and be like, I had fun, you know, I had fun going on all these dates, and like, I have all these crazy stories, and in the moment they were crazy and wild, but I look back and I'm like, I had so much fun in that era of my life. It was so carefree. I didn't worry about what all these guys thought of me. I didn't worry about the things that I was saying. I didn't worry about, you know, how I looked or whatever. You know, it was just purely fun. And you want to be able to look back and not have that muddied by, oh, I was just so hurt by my last relationship mm-hmm. that I just did this out of spite. You know, you want to do it for you. But if you want to do that the same day that you break up with them, that's cool. If you want to do that a year after you break up with them, that's cool too. But if you're in that place where you're just kind of wanting to casually date and date around, I think it is important to let the other person know, whoever you're talking to on these dating apps, hey, like, I'm not looking for anything serious right now, you know? Yeah, just casual.
I feel like it's a huge majority of people that are on these apps is mm-hmm. they are looking for something casual, and the chances of you being that one person they're only talking to are so slim to none, because they have that app and that's what they've been doing is swiping, and that's the whole entire point of the experience is mm-hmm. to be in a pool. And I totally agree. I don't think that there is any rule to when you feel that you want to be on a dating app. I remember doing it myself, going on Tinder, which was okay, in my defense, it was the only app that was available at the time, or at least well known at the time. And I did it as soon as I was pissed off or as soon as I was broken up with. But I just think that if you are scrolling and you find yourself getting tired and getting upset that why aren't these things lasting, that's when you should maybe take a break. If it's not a positive experience coming out of it, or if you're not seeing the light out of the experience, then maybe delete the app. Maybe you should start dating yourself, okay? Because I feel after a moment in time, it's just a face after another. And if you're not feeling any kind of value, and of course, you're not looking for the man, you're just looking for a man, that's okay to just scroll. But if you just feel like you're trying to look for the man, maybe that shouldn't be the time. Because I kind of feel when you find the man, it's supposed to be an optimistic experience. It's supposed to come out of the blue versus finding them while you were swiping. But there was an experience I will highlight from that I saw on TikTok, which I should have looked at how long they were together for. There was this girl and she found her man off of Bumble, and respectfully, that man was so fine, and they looked happy, and they seemed, from what they posted, they seem as if they're having a very successful, happy, long-term relationship. But it just depends. And I feel like and my cousin, she married her husband off of a dating app. I believe it was Bumble. But I just think that if you're having a positive experience, there is no rule, but try not to expect too much out of these apps, because once you start expecting in anything, that's the moment when you can be let down, is if you're expecting something out of someone or something. So don't expect, because you will get let down. So just be free flowing with it. Don't have high expectations in these men on these apps. Just be fun, have fun. And that's what comes out of the apps. You know, I'm totally not against it.
It's okay to note too that it's okay to change your mind. You know, one day you may wake up and realize, actually, I don't want to go on these dates. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to be on the app. And that's okay. It's okay to one day feel like you're ready and the next feel like you're not. That's completely okay.
Yeah. Did you ever feel when you were on these apps, you felt so much more worse about yourself?
No.
I don't know. I wish, bitch.
I'm telling you, that era of my life, I was so era? Unhinged. Okay. Oh, okay. I did not care, not one bit.
I don't know. At first it was fun, but once, I don't know, maybe just because I get sensitive at times, it was just like I felt like I was getting nothing from it. But like you said, you can wake up one day and just be totally over it. And that's okay. But I feel as though that is the problem, is one day you're totally into it and then you wake up and you're just so frustrated and you're so why is nothing working? And that's okay. Don't let that be the reason why you lose hope in love, is that you can't mm-hmm. find someone that you're swiping on to be the one. That's where I feel like I was so frustrated at the time before I had kids. I was like, why is no one hitting? They say there's so many fish in the sea. How come I can't find my one fish on Tinder? Like, out of all these guys I'm swiping on. And at that point, you're in your head. It's in your own head why you cannot have fun at that point mm-hmm. or see the brighter side.
And I always say, or I always tell, like, our friends and stuff, it's not that you don't have a person or there isn't a person out there for you. It's just that we're looking in the wrong places.
Yes.
Our person is probably not going to be the guy that we went to elementary school and...
That ruins it. Apple needs to fix that shit. Oh my gosh.
I don't even know. This isn't even, like, we're not on FaceTime.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it's like, why it does that.
I just think it's a Mac thing.
You know, the guy, our soulmate, our one true love, is probably not going to be the guy that we've gone to school with our entire life and lives down the street. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's a good book trope, but not realistic.
Right, right. But that's who we're just around constantly. We're around the mm-hmm. same people. So a lot of our friends, you know, want to go out and meet someone organically. You're probably not going to be able to do that in the area that you're from because you know everyone there. You grew up with everyone there. It's not going to be any different from the dating apps. You know what I mean? So our person, your person, our friends, their person, we just need to find, like, the right place to look for them.
Yeah. You know? I will say, maybe there's, like, people that are leaving certain areas that go to your area. So you never know. But like you said, okay. There could be someone that you do know. So that's never a good feeling either when you're just out and you see someone, oh my God, lost another prospect. But I do you think that you can find someone as, like, a boyfriend at bars or clubs?
No.
Really?
Well,
what about, like, a brewery?
Yeah. At a brewery, I think, yeah. I think
you're like, that gives that, the vibe. Golden Road gives the vibe.
I think that I take a lot of that advice that Josh gave that one time.
Yes.
Where he was basically totally. Like, don't go out one night to a bar and expect that you're going to meet your husband there. Something along the lines of that he said.
Yes.
And I think that really put things into perspective for me because, mm-hmm. I mean, you're not wrong. If we're out and we're all drunk and you ask for my number, what are you going to do? You're probably going to text me that same night and ask me to come over. You know what I mean? Like, do you really?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing comes from that. I totally get. I remember when Josh said that, I was like, be for real, have some optimism. Come on. Mm-hmm. But because what if they're not drunk? You know, what if they are just so happening to be there? But
I do think there is opportunity for it. Like, it's not completely out of the picture, out of the question. But I don't think you should go out with that expectation of, oh, if this guy comes up to me and asks for my number,
he could be the one,
my next boyfriend. You know, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I would say go into it with very low expectations, and if something comes of it, cool. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Remember when Josh said that? I was just like, I remember he said specifically, and Josh is our friend, by the way. If there's anybody that doesn't know who that is, Josh is, like, one of our good mutual guy friends, and he was just like, I wouldn't want to meet my girlfriend at the bar getting drunk and dancing under the guys. I was just, that was true. Fair. Because then what are they going to do next weekend? Probably the same thing, which there is no hate to that. It's just that they're probably not in the mind space to be dating seriously. But mm-hmm. again, there is optimism in that. I feel like the huge theme of this is, like, have no expectation. And so then that way the chances of something good happening are much higher than when you walk trying to expect something.
I think, you know, a lot of people can go into it with low expectations or no expectations, but I feel like, I don't know about you, I don't know if it's, like, a girl thing or maybe it's just a me thing. Previously, I feel like I've gotten a lot better about it, but previously, when things were going well with a guy, I would just start to imagine, you know, all the possibilities, you know, imagine, like, what it would be like to date long term with them, what it would be mm-hmm. like to marry them, have kids with them, whatever. Yeah. You know, my imagination just was free.
Took over.
And I think mm-hmm. that really, that raised a lot of my expectations when they weren't, didn't act
accordingly
in a way that should be raising my expectations. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
No,
so
yeah,
I feel
it
like that's a big thing too, is you have to go into it without these preconceived ideas in your head of this is what this could end up being. You kind of have to go into it being like, this is what it is now.
Romanticizing.
Who knows what it'll be tomorrow, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think one of the biggest takeaways too that I wanted to add on to this episode is don't lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
From dating apps and the experience of going out, I think that yes, keep your expectations low and don't expect anything, but don't think that there is nothing for you out there. I think that I've seen it before, and I'm sure people listening, and I'm sure you have seen someone meet another person at a bar or at a restaurant and they just so happen to hit it off and they're married with kids now. I genuinely do think there's a person, like you said, there's a person for everybody. So don't think that just because we're saying that don't have any expectations going anywhere, you're going to, so you can, you know, there's no one out there. So don't expect that there is someone, but there is someone for you, and they can be on Tinder. They can be on Bumble. They can be on Hinge. They could be at Golden Road or Ballast Point. Who knows? But there is someone for everybody. So don't lose hope just because nothing works or these guys are not hitting, or women, you know, don't think that there's no one for you, because there is. I hate when people are so bitter about that too. Like, oh, like no one's ever going to love me. There's someone made for you out here, sis. There is. Just have some hope, you know?
And just have fun with it, you know?
Yes.
This is our time. This is our era. 2024 is our year. Just have fun.
Yes.
You know?
Have you read your yearly horoscope?
That you would never say. No, I haven't actually. I've been so into the Juno thing. I haven't read my actual horoscope.
I need to look into that, but I don't know. For any fellow Sagittarians out there, allegedly, there is someone for us this year, whether it's someone casual or if it's serious. So I don't know, but I think it's like they said, it was so specific though, which was really weird. It was, they said August or the end of the year, towards the half of the year is when it happens. So will you see me boot up this year?
You have all year to get ready for it. You have all year to prepare yourself for it.
I don't know. Might just be boot up.
It's coming.
Who knows? Oh, I don't know about that, but we'll see. We'll see. But do you have any advice to anybody that's on dating apps? What's your advice right now? 2024 on these dating apps.
I think really stand firm in your boundaries and don't let anyone try to persuade you out of them or push you to go against them. I think they're really important. But I think also doing things in favor of self-respect. You know, you kind of want to take a step back and take a look at a situation and realize if this guy is playing games with you or if this guy is leading you on. You know, you want to be aware of certain things like that. Because I know it is hard to go into it without expectations, you're going to go into it with some expectations, and you don't want to be let down. You don't want to be disappointed. You don't want to, you know, invest this time in whoever it is on this dating app and then be disappointed when he can't follow through. You know, just have a little bit of, you know, self-respect and some awareness, and, you know, just be careful.
Mm-hmm. And
also, if you're going to hook up with anyone, ask if they've been tested recently. Okay?
Oh, yes.
Because
yes.
You can never be.
We're all about practicing safe sex out here.
We've had this conversation too, where sometimes like our friends will be like, oh, I feel weird asking that. And I'm like, I ask that to every partner that I have. That is the first thing out of my mouth.
I need to be more like you.
I am not going to sit here and have sex with you and then get chlamydia or have herpes.
Like, what if they lie, you know?
You know what I mean? Like, then be like, show me the paper. Show me your results.
I'm sure you can get an email.
Nurse. I could read it. I could read those results. You know?
Show me the doc that they emailed you with your results.
Be careful.
Planned Parenthood is free.
About enough, you know. Yes. I mean, it's referred to in jokes and whatnot, but it's seriously not talked about enough. And a lot of STDs And a lot of STDs go unnoticed for a long time before they're diagnosed. And for females.
And men are carriers, okay? Men are carriers. Right. If you do not, what's that one? That one vaccination for women when they become sexually active? I forget, but.
HPV.
Yes, men are carriers out here, so be careful. They may not know, and
a lot of STDs affect women worse than they affect men. So if it goes unnoticed for a long period of time, and you do have it, you know, you risk infertility. You know what I mean? And
you can get cancer, cervical cancer. You can get
cancer. And so it is a serious thing. It is a big thing. As uncomfortable as that conversation may be, as awkward as that conversation may be, just have it. Just get it out of the way. Yes, because you don't want to regret anything.
No. No. And I think one last touch for me too is that you are deserving. You are worthy. You are worthy of receiving love, even though, yes, I totally am so about having fun and being casual, because there are some funny ass people out here that can give you that nice conversation. Be safe and love yourself through the process, and don't be so hard on yourself. And like you said, have self-respect and have worth. Never forget that. I feel like after a while being on these apps, women tend to, because they are seeing so many faces, they tend to naturally let down that their expectations and the respect they have for themselves. So don't ever let that be the case, because there is hope for you. So don't ever think you need to settle just because no one is hitting. So yes, love yourself, queen. Okay. But I think that's it for episode 2 of Love Club. Club up. Fuck the club up. Fuck the love club out.
We don't need to find an intro song. You could just sing it.
No, you guys, I feel soon there's going to be an intro song. Me and Kaylin are just, it's hard out here. That's something hard to find, but we're working on it. But yes, I hope whoever is listening to this conversation, you found meaning and purpose, and love is not easy. So hopefully you've got something from this episode. But thank you if you listen all the way through. We love you. And also thank you so much to all of our friends and family that are showing so much love. Like Kaylin's uncle made a Spotify to give us a rating. We love that man. Honestly, Kaylin's mom listened to the episode, my sisters, my cousins, and all of our friends. Like, we love all of you guys, and thank you so much. But yes, think about for you, queen.
It's not the end of the world. It is not the end of the world.
No. We're sending you all the love. Don't lose your hope. But thank you to everybody. Really, we love you. Oh, Kaylin, do the heart. Do the Mac heart. The MacBook heart. Thank you, everybody. Hearts to everyone. Okay. That's the end of the episode. We're going to start normally uploading now on Mondays, which is what we're set for. So, yes. Okay. Thank you. We'll talk to you guys next in the next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.